Father, bless these words to our heart. Anoint our ears to hear. Father, anoint our hearts to receive. And Lord, we also pray for the ones who are normally here and are not Andrew and John and the different ones. I think of Ryan and Trish, God, bless them. And Father Ashley, bless her as well. In Jesus' name. I had received an interesting question this week. And I wasn't actually planning on talking about it, but then the question started brewing in my head. Kind of mulling it around and meditating on it. And so when I got here today, I said, you know, I think I'm going to talk about that question. What does it mean? In Matthew 12:31, when the Word of God says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. What does that mean? Like, what is God saying there? I thought all sins were forgivable, and we Christians say, well, what could possibly be an unforgivable sin? Well, obviously then, since the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not saying this isn't so, don't misunderstand, but we think obviously since the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to lead people to Christ, must be that we don't get saved, and that is the unpardonable sin. Okay, certainly, if a person never gets saved, they will go to hell. That is true. But in a manner of speaking, let's look at this a little bit differently. Like, what about the people who get saved later in life? What about those people who first reject? Is that now the unpardonable sin? Because it is against the ministry of the Holy Spirit that they have chosen. And in a manner of speaking, they have blasphemed Him by not immediately accepting Christ. But I know myself, I didn't accept Christ for the longest time. You know why? Because of Christians. I met these Christianese Christians, I call them, who had like this pretense without reality. They had speech, but not substance. I'd go to their meetings and I think, this is stupid. They were playing games, and this was in college, and you have these college students playing childish games, and I thought, this is stupid. And they all talked really breathy. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus, yeah. Oh, he's sweet. I thought, you guys are nuts. I didn't want to have beans to do with that kind of Christianity. You know how I got saved? When I heard a Christian laugh, a real laugh. That's what got me saved. A Christian laughed, a real laugh. And I said, now that I can handle. Because I had read my Bible twice, cover to cover, before I actually accepted Christ. I loved Christ. I thought He was the coolest thing since popcorn. I mean, He was so cool. Let's read the Bible, read the Gospels. Yeah, Jesus, yeah, water into wine. How cool is that? Right? And just, you read these things, and you love it, and the Spirit inside a man, but then you see the people, and you say, well, I like the book, I like Christ, but I don't want to be like that. And so I wasn't. I still don't like them. If I get around them today, I'm like, ooh, let me out of here. It's like eating mud. So, that's not trying to be unkind to people, but that's simply, honestly, the way I felt about it. So, I was rejecting Christ, blaspheming the Spirit in that regard. But really, I don't think that's really what it means. You see, I got saved eventually. So what was it to blaspheme the Spirit, and how come that is the unpardonable sin? See, it's not the salvation part. You see, there is, in fact, no sin that has not been pardoned. Because the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. It washes us from those sins, plural sins. Revelation 1:5. So what did it mean? Well, what it means is in the word forgiven. That word forgiven we think of as pardoning from sins. But that's not what it means. We don't need to be pardoned from sins. That's not what it... Nowhere in the Bible does it actually tell us that we need to be pardoned from sins per se. Because we've already been pardoned. That's what the death on the cross did. It paid the price. You see, there was never an issue of pardon in that sense. It was never an issue of forgiveness from God, like I pardon you and I won't hold it against you anymore. That was never the issue because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So at what point was sin an issue? At what point was the blood of Christ not shed when it was shed before the foundation of the world? So what does it mean? Well, the key is in the word forgive. You see, the word forgiveness is not like we think of the word forgiveness. A lot of people try to build a doctrine around 1 John 1:9. I was talking to somebody about that this week. A lot of people try to build an entire doctrine on that one verse. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins. And they say, see, without confession, there is no forgiveness. So, if you didn't confess, you're not going to be forgiven. And only when you confess, only then are you forgiven. You know what? I don't need to be forgiven. I'm cleansed. How do you forgive somebody of something that is not theirs? It's like saying, I have a nice clean shirt, and somebody says, you need to put on a nice clean shirt. That I have a nice clean shirt. No, you have to put on a nice clean shirt. Why? Because you didn't ask for a nice clean shirt, so now you have to go and ask for a nice clean shirt. But I'm wearing a nice clean shirt. This is what it is like when believers say, you must confess your sin to be forgiven. Well, that's nonsense. I don't need to be forgiven. I've been cleansed, and I've been cleansed by the blood that was shed before the foundation of the world. Sin has never, not once, been an issue in the sense of it is sin. The issue is not sin. Notice that the provision was given before sin ever entered the world. Even in Genesis chapter 1, where the stars were given for signs and for season, it was not signs and seasons like marvelous signs and, I guess, what, seasons of the year? Weather. The stars were given for weather. No. The gospel is written in the stars. David knew how to read the stars. The wise men were led by the stars. Why? Because they came from Persia, and Persia was in Babylon, and Babylon had a Bible college in it that Daniel started. And that Bible college was teaching people how to properly read the stars. Not like today's perversion called astrology, but like what it actually was, reading stars. Stars have the gospel written in them. The fourth day had the gospel written in it. The sixth day, man was created. You see, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. What's the very last thing the Lamb said? It is finished. Before the foundation of the world, it is finished. So, what does it mean to be forgiven? What does that say? It's not talking about forgiveness. It's talking about release. You see, the word there for forgiven, and throughout the entire New Testament, the word for forgiven is the word aphemi. And that word is in the aorist active subjunctive in 1 John 1:9. And it says, to release from bondage to. And according to the linguistic key, the subjunctive clause expresses the way in which God expresses His faithfulness and justice and is equivalent to the infinitive of result. So what does it mean? Well, aorist tense, it occurred in the past with present continuing results. Funny thing is, I didn't receive the forgiveness as I spoke, God, I confess this sin to you. No, aorist tense, in the past with present continuing results. In other words, I continuously am releasing from sin. I'm continuously being released from sin. And the word confess there doesn't mean I confess it per se. What it means is I agree with God. It's the word homologeo, homo, same, logeo, word. I speak the same word as God. And I say, God, that was sin. I don't even have to give Him the shopping list of my sins. Just like the prodigal when he returned, all he had to say is, Father, I have sinned. That's where the father cut him off. He had rehearsed an entire speech. But the father wouldn't let him go there. He just said, no, this is all I needed to say. You had agreed with me that this is sin. And how can two walk together except they be agreed? So, why do I need to agree with God? So that I can, in my experience, walk with Him. So I can fellowship with Him. If I break away from Him, I break away not because I'm not forgiven or not because I'm not cleansed, but because in my experience I start disagreeing with God. And in that is sin. You see, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, when I look at sin that way, it no longer, okay, how do I confess that which I'm not even aware of? Perhaps I'm not mature enough. Excuse me, but you can't be forgiven if you don't confess. Do you know you just sinned? You misrepresented the Word of God. You just sinned. Now, are you forgiven or not? You see, the religious crowd doesn't believe the finished work because they still think there is some activity of the flesh, even though it may seem very good. Oh, forgiveness, how humble is that? I must confess it and then I can be forgiven. And sure, no, not the finished work, not the finished work. The finished work says, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world and I am perfect and righteous and just before Him, regardless of whatever lousy state I happen to get into. If I make my bed in hell, He is there. If I fail, I fall into His everlasting arms, which have nail prints in them. And He will, in Romans 14:4, He will make me stand. If I fall, He will make me stand. No, forgiveness is not forgiveness in that sense. It is release from bondage. You see, what I need as a believer is to be continually released from bondage. Why? What bondage am I in? Well, inside of my body, in Romans chapter 7, there exists this thing called an old sin nature. Sin is present in my members. It is passed down through my genetics, and it will hold me in bondage. And the ministry of God and the ministry of the Word of God is simply to release me from that bondage. In Ephesians 5:26, I am cleansed by the washing of the Word of God. What does that mean? As the Word of God comes into my heart, as it comes into my mind, and it enters my frame of reference, it transforms who I am. I don't transform who I am. I don't try to work it up. The Word of God transforms who I am. You see, in me there is no good thing. So how can no good thing make itself a good thing? Well, it's very simple. It cannot. There is no good thing in me. But the Word of God, when it transforms my frame of reference, it turns me into 2 Corinthians new creation type of a believer. And there is something. You know what the Word of God does for me? It teaches me to deny myself. Now, what does that mean? Well, I have to say no to myself all the time. No, that's not even close to what it means. What it means is that my eyes, as the Word of God penetrates me, go from me to God. That I no longer am the center of my universe, but God is. And as God becomes all to me, as He increases and I decrease, the Word of God produces a cross in me. I lay down my life not because I'm going to be an ascetic or really work up self-denial. No, I lay down my life because I exchange my life through the ability that I receive from the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I exchange my life through the Word for His life. And when I have His life, then I have resurrection life. See, the life of the believer starts at the cross. It doesn't finish there. It starts there. Some people are forever trying to pick up their cross when the fact of the matter is, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. I have been crucified with Christ, past tense. So reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. In other words, you have in the past been crucified with Christ, now believe it. That's what it's saying. You have been crucified with Christ, now believe it. Well, if I am dead indeed unto self, then I am alive unto Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that if one died, then all are dead. See, sin entered by one man, but so did redemption. I don't need to be forgiven, I'm cleansed. What is there to be forgiven of? I'm cleansed. There's nothing to be forgiven of. But I do need release. You see, because I have an old sin nature, I can live in bondage to my sins. How do I do that? Well, I live in my lust patterns. You see, part of that old sin nature is that all of us have at least one prevailing lust patterns. All of us have components of all six. And there are six general lust patterns. And they manifest themselves through different means. But there's basically six categories. I have one prevailing one, and so does everybody else. When I live in that lust pattern, and that will happen when I do not receive the richness of the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. How can they hear if they don't have a preacher? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if I'm not receiving the Word of God, and if the Word of God isn't continuously releasing me and cleansing me in Ephesians chapter 5, then I will live in my lust patterns. Why? Because the lust pattern is a physical part of me. I will live in my biological life. But if I have received the Word of God in truth and richness and wealth of the Holy Spirit's ministry to the believer as he hears in humility and meekness before God, if I receive the Word of God, then it changes me. And as it changes me, it takes me out of my lust pattern. Not that it eliminates my flesh. The flesh simply has no effect. I don't think in it. All of a sudden, those thoughts do not come into my mind. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ now. And the mind of Christ is pure. And the mind of Christ is holy and righteous. And I have the mind of God. And so I don't live in my lust pattern, not because I strive not to sin in an outward manifestation, although inside it's a real wrestling match. I don't live in my lust pattern because the thoughts never come to mind. those things that once caused me to lust are now, whatever that lust may be it sensual or material or approbation lust or recognition or whatever, those things that would cause me to lust once upon a time now are actually kind of disgusting to me. They do not have appeal, they have revulsion. But if I stop receiving the Word of God, my flesh will start to creep up again. So this is why it is imperative that I continually receive. This is why Israel had to have fresh manna every day. See, I need to be released from that sin. I need to confess, I need to agree with God so that I can walk in fellowship with Him, because so that I can walk with Him and then He can release me from the effects and the bondage that sin, my sin nature has on me, and the effects of whatever sin activity I may partake in. And when I turn to God, a scarred conscience, a seared soul, an infected heart are cleansed, are restored. Whatever the cankerworm has eaten away, God will restore when I turn to God. See, this is why I agree with God about my sin in 1 John 1:9, so that I can walk with Him, so that I can be too agreed with Him. This is what it means. It doesn't mean that God won't forgive me if I don't confess. That's, you know, that's such a, I don't know, that's not even spiritual kindergarten. I don't know what that is. No, the work is finished. The work is finished. The work is finished. It has been finished before the world began. The work is finished. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I am made holy and righteous and pure, spotless and blameless before God, completely as holy as He is. I have God's righteousness because He gave it to me. Not because I produce some action of the flesh, even though it may be a nice and religious one, no. Simply because He gave it to me, He loved me, He gave it to me, and though I didn't deserve it, He gave it to me anyway, because that's who God is. And so I am taken out of the effects of my sin through a walk with Him. The bondage is broken. And so I have it no more. See, this is why in Acts chapter 26, the Word of God says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive release of their sins, release from bondage to their sins. Open their eyes. Let the Word of God, I speak of perception, let the Word of God enter into their perception, so that the lustful things of this world, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the things that bring darkness to a believer, let these things be done away with by the light of the Word of God entering into my perception. And when the light of the Word of God enters into my perception, the power of Satan in my life is eliminated. Because the power of Satan in my life only comes through that part of my life that is in the old man, the old sin nature. Not in the new man. The resurrection man, the resurrected Christ, was no longer touched by the enemy. Only the human God, the God-man, He was touched by the enemy. He was touched profoundly. Oh, by the way, to be attacked by the enemy, to have grief because of the enemy, is not sin. Even to be led at times by the enemy is not sin. Jesus was led as He was tempted after fasting for 40 days. And He was led to the top of the temple. And He was led to the high mountain. And He was led there by the enemy. To be grieved is not sin. The enemy is the one who in the Garden of Gethsemane grieved Christ. In Luke, the Word of God says that the attack was so great against Christ by the demons that blood poured out as sweat through His skin. And there is a medical condition whereby blood will pour out through the skin as sweat through unbelievably severe stress. And He was being stressed by the enemy, by demons. And this is why He said, "Father, allow this cup to pass from Me." A lot of people think He was talking about the cross. No, the cross is why He came. Because God, "Father, if they kill Me now, I'll never make it to the cross. Allow this cup to pass from Me." It is not sin to be stressed by these things. By the way, it's not sin to be a human being either. Oh, I may fail and I don't want to sin, but I'll tell you one thing, I will. I will sin. But then, in 1 John, if my heart condemns me when I do sin, God is greater than my heart. Now, I'm not advocating sin and I'm not saying sin is okay and God will discipline it. What I am saying is that God is greater than my sin. What I am saying, that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Why? Because it's grace that turns me around. It's grace that gets me out of my sin. It's not grace that gives me a provision for it. It's grace that gets me out. Why is it that grace gets me out? Because I'm already cleansed. The blood has already been shed. And now, by grace, have to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit, whereby I can experience release from the effects of my sin nature. See, and now this brings us back to where we started. Why is it in Matthew chapter 12 that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the only sin that cannot be forgiven unto men? It's not that cannot be pardoned, it's that cannot be forgiven. That cannot be released from. Why is that? Because it is the job of the Holy Spirit, it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to convict me when I sin. And by the way, if I get convicted, whether it is through my own relationship with God, or whether it is because of a message that is preached, or whether it is because somebody who is being Spirit-led, albeit they may not know it, who is being Spirit-led, says something to me, and I get pricked in my heart and convicted, it is only because the Holy Spirit is ministering to my heart at that moment. And what is He ministering? He is ministering to me, "This is the way, walk ye in it." He is ministering to me, "I set before you life and death, choose life." He is ministering to me the narrow path that leads to life, not the broad road that leads to destruction. And so when the Holy Spirit ministers to me, if I turn against Him, if I refuse to agree with God, then I cannot experience the release that He is faithful and just to give if I do agree with Him. And so that is the one sin that I cannot experience the release from, because I have turned from my source of release. And if I turn from my source of release, there is no other source of release. There is only the Holy Spirit's ministry through the Word of God, and that is what releases me from the burden. If I turn from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I've turned from the conviction that God brings. I've turned from the edification that God brings. I've turned from "This is the way." I don't agree with God, and therefore in my experience, albeit I may be a born-again believer, cleansed by the blood, made perfect, forgiven, completely justified in my position, before God, my experience here on earth will not match my position. My experience here on earth will be I'm not walking with Him because I'm not agreeing with Him, so I'm not experiencing the impartation of His life to my heart so that His life is no longer flowing through my soul, in my heart, in my life, and so that my life is not manifesting His life. His life, His love is not being shed abroad in my heart, and I'm not being conformed to the image of Christ. And that will not happen until I stop blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So if I continue to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, I will not be released from the effects of my sin. And that is not being forgiven. The moment I repent of that, I stop blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and then I can start experiencing the life of God again. Why? Because I instantly recover. I don't have to do 3 backflips and 5 somersaults. I simply instantly recover. He is faithful and just to release me. And I simply start walking in that which was already given to me. Amen.